Depends on what's going on.
Okay, let's get started. So let me just outline what I would like the plan to be for this for these Pesach series, and hopefully we'll get to it. And I welcome your feedback. This week I titled the cleaning for Pesach. It's only one aspect of cleaning for Pesach. I'm going to try to cover what the halachas are with regard to the halacha, strictly the halacha of what one has to do in preparation for Pesach. And next week what I'd like to do is discussing specific appliances and things we have around the house, how we can kosher them for Pesach, if you're going to be koshering them, if you can use them, what can't be used. We'll try to go through those. And the following week I'd like to discuss some of the halachas of the Seder, which is relevant whether you're staying here for Pesach or you're going away for Pesach, everyone makes a Seder. We'll try to be, you know, specifically deal with how much one has to eat, what one has to eat, the what specific shiurim are, and try to focus on what a person needs to do to be mekayim his mitzvahs halayla. By brief introduction to this year, and I'll try to repeat this later when the rest of the crowd shuffles in, what I'm doing tonight is really strictly halacha. And everyone has their own family practices, minhagim, chumras, that they do. And it's important to acknowledge that and not to run away from that just because maybe the halacha says slightly differently, as long as we're not violating the halacha. And certainly, when it comes to issues of shalom bayis, the last thing that I would like to do is have someone say what Rabbi Richter said in his shir, the following, and therefore, what are you making me crazy for?
At least on the record.
Right. So again, the what we're doing here really is that we're trying to cover what it says in halacha, what one is required to do, and of course the specific sensitivities of one's family is a bar das, someone understands what a person needs to do in order to maintain the proper atmosphere for Yom Tov. So now we're talking about obviously getting rid of chametz. Why does someone have to get rid of chametz? Again, starting all the way from the beginning of the pasuk. In source number one, I quote a number of psukim, and I underline them without spending too much time. This mitzvah tashbisu, this mitzvah sar lo yimatzi v'vateichem, and this mitzvah lo yachal chametz. Three specific mitzvahs in the Torah. One of them is to literally mashbisu, tashbisu means to get rid of chametz, to destroy it, to get rid of it, put it to rest. Number two is a person should not be in possession of chametz on Pesach, which is sar lo yimatzi v'vateichem. You shouldn't be in possession of it, you shouldn't find it. And then there's the pasuk of Le'i'acha Chametz, which the Gemara in Pesachim deals with extensively. Obviously, literal translation of the word Le'i'acha Chametz means a person cannot eat Chametz on Pesach. And the Gemara discusses that also, it also comes to include that a person cannot benefit from Chametz, a person is not allowed to have Hana. He's not allowed to have Hana from Chametz on Pesach. That means he can't feed his animals with it, he can't sell it, he can't derive other forms of benefit from his Chametz on Pesach. So it's important to note that these really are three separate issues, and sometimes when we're discussing one, we may still find ourselves having to deal with the other one. So for example, what we're going to discuss tonight very much focuses on the Isser of Bayirah Bayimotzeh, which literally means what a person's allowed to or not allowed to own on Pesach, but that doesn't necessarily mean he could eat it. In other words, if we're going to exclude something from the Isser Bayirah Bayimotzeh, and I'll say that you're allowed to keep this on Pesach, you do not need to get rid of this before Pesach, that might be true, but it still doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat it. So let's start as follows. What is the shear that a person has to get rid of for chametz? So the first Mishnah Maseches Beitzah discusses this. It's a little bit shied out because the beginning of Maseches Beitzah discusses the first line of the Mishnah, which discusses an egg. And we get very, very focused, hyper-focused on this egg. What's wrong with the egg? Can you eat it? Can I eat it? Why? Yes. Why? No. The Gemara ends up discussing all kinds of issues of muktzah, of everything else. But the issue of chametz, which is the next issue in the Mishnah, which as we'll read in source number two, which is underlined by Shami Omer B'Sa'ar B'Kazayis, B'Chametz P'Kikai Seves, B'Sil Omer Zeb Zeb B'Kazayis, B'Machlekes. How much of sa'ar and chametz? Sa'ar literally means meaning sourdough. Chametz meaning chametz, as we know, leaven in bread, which is chametz. It rose. The halacha is person not allowed to own that. The shaila is how much. So Beis Hillel says the shear that a person is over and bayirah bayimotzeh is a kezayis. So kezayis, if I had to describe it, would probably be somewhere around the size of a small matchbox. Okay, so that's the size. If a person owns that chametz on Pesach, he's over the Isser Bayirah Bayimotzeh. So that's what it says in the Gemara, and that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. A person is over Bayirah Bayimotzeh if he owns a kezayis of chametz. Now, before we get into the specifics the clear specifics of how much or what a person has to get rid of. In the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, which we're not going to focus so much on tonight, in Simin, Taf Lama Gimel Sukkot Aleph, Mechaber writes as follows. This is in source number 3. It says, Mechaber Chedra B'yud Gimel, a person cleans, he sweeps out his room on the 13th day of Nisan, B'yud Gimel B'Nisan, U'mechaven Livzei K'chametz U'Levaroi, he has in mind to check for the chametz and to get rid of it. The Nizr Shleil Hachnas Sham Oid Chametz, he's careful not to bring any more chametz into there. Afal Pikein Tzarech, Livdek B'Lel Yudalad. Nevertheless, the Halach is the person needs to do B'dik again on the night of Yudalad. In other words, a person cleans his house up on the 13th day of the month of Nisan before the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz comes, and he's sure there's no chametz in there. Nevertheless, the halach is he has to do Bedikas Chametz again on the night, the Arla Arba Asar, on the night of the 14th, which is the night that we all do Bedikas Chametz. And why that has to be done, the Mishnah Berurah explains, but we're not going to get into that tonight. But the point that I want to focus on is the Ramah, who follows that Mechaber, and he writes, V'chol adam tzarech l'chabed chadarav kodem b'dika. So it's interesting, the Ramah is writing, a person needs to clean his house beforehand. You can't just wait until, in other words, a person could ask, why do I have to clean the house? During B'dikas Chametz, we'll exert a very strong effort to check to the house. We'll carry a broom, we'll carry a garbage can with us, and as we check through the house, anything which is Chametz we'll dispose of. What's the big deal? Why do we have to make such a big deal about it? Let's just do it during B'dikas Chametz. So the Ramah says, no, a person has to clean his house well before B'dikas Chametz. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in source number 4, L'mivdak shapar v'loki, but a person can't check his house properly if it's not clean. So again,
I'm sorry, that doesn't seem like the Shulchan Aruch's position.
No, it doesn't.
Where does the Ramah get it? Where is he getting it from? Is this just from practical advice?
Practical advice,
so he's not
yes.
Getting it, from a,
it comes from a Mordechai. Okay. It comes from a Mordechai. And the point really is that, I mean, it ends up putting us into a situation where we have kind of circular reasoning. In other words, if we clean our house before we do B'dikas Chametz, then what are we doing the B'dika for? I mean, if you think about what happens in most of our homes, by the time B'dikas Chametz comes around, we're quite certain there's no Chametz anywhere. And in many of our houses, all the food that's being served is already Pesachtik. So at that point, what's the B'dika for?
You could easily say, you know, B'dika, that's the final...
That's the final stroke. But
right,
again...
Right.
Why do I need that for?
Because you want it's the final checking before you can go.
Right.
And
so that Rav Shlomo Zalman writes.
Children will ask.
Right. Very good. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that the reason why a person needs to do this bedika. Very good. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that the reason why this needs to be done is because, and this is something which probably everyone which resonates with everybody, is it's basically a checklist. I know in my house, there's a lot of things that need to be done last minute. There's this box of chametz that which you're keeping over here. There's this cabinet which you're waiting until the last minute to turn over. So basically, ultimately, at this point, the way that most of us clean our houses, B'dikas Chametz, is basically a very important checklist that you're doing. It's a final walkthrough with a checklist. You're making sure that everything that you did is done right. But again, I don't want to spend too much time right now discussing the halachas of B'dikas Chametz. But the point that I'm bringing out from here is that there's a mitzvah and there is a real need for a person to clean his house well before he does his B'dikas Chametz. It's interesting. It's interesting. Shari Tshuva. You know what? We'll focus on this later because we're going to get too off topic. Here. Now, the next thing I want to point out is in Siman Taf Lamed Aleph Sivka and Beis in the Mishnah Berurah, this is source number 5. Why do we have to do both things, Bedika and Beer? And this is something which is very important. We'll read it together, source number 5. Umina Taira, specifically from the Taira, from the mitzvah of the Taira Midaraisa, Be'echad Mehem Sagi, where a person could do either Bittel, in other words, he could think in his mind, and he actually verbalizes it with his mouth, that any chametz that he owns should be, in his eyes, viewed as dirt. And he also has to get rid of it. So why do you have to do both? Really, the truth is, you really only have to do one. Once a person is mafkir the chametz, once a person says he has in mind he no longer wants to own the chametz, it's not his anymore, and he's no longer in violation of this or by Yerubba Yematzbi owning this chametz. Certainly, if a person got rid of the chametz, he looked for it, he found it, he burnt it, he got rid of it, he's definitely not going to be in violation of this or by Yerubba Yematzbi, because it's gone. Chazal are stringent in this matter. You can't just do one of them. You have to do both. Achar shahabitol talib machshavtan shavani adam who b'deu sayin ula yera be'eni adam sheish lechametz bad kama alafun lahafker v'afshav pivyomer shibato v'afker v'chashav kafim kamakim liba lekein yachshav believe atlena believe shalim v'ri'ever b'vayira. Since ultimately, when a person says that he is being mafkir his chametz, a person has in mind that the chametz that he owns should no longer be in his possession. That is something which really is very much subjective, and it's subject to the way he himself perceives it in his mind. So let's say a person has thousands of dollars worth of chametz. He has a whiskey cabinet full of hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of whiskey. And he just says one day, you know what? Hefker, bottle. So if a person doesn't really mean it, so it's just, it's a matter of a very small threshold between a person being over the Isser Vayira by Yematzeh and a person not being over. So therefore, we didn't want to rely on that alone, therefore we said, get rid of it also. The next, the Oid Shema Mitech Shregila by Kol HaShana Im Yiv Bebesai V'Rishusa Gazvina Shishkach V'Yovei Lechlai. If we're not going to tell a person to actually get rid of it, even if a person was mevatel the chametz, and you're right, he's no longer in violation of the Isser of Bayira by Yematzeh, if he won't get rid of it, people get used to certain routines. If you get used to a routine of waking up in the morning, having a coffee, and having a Danish with it, if you happen to have a Danish sitting on the counter, even if it's not yours, you may mistakenly eat it. So again, this again highlights the point that we brought earlier, that there's two issues that we always have to work with. One of them is, am I in violation of the Isser Bayira by Yematzeh by owning chametz? That may be that I got out of it by being mafgir or by being mevatel it. But how about eating it? So you have to take precautions to make sure that you don't eat it as well. V'lchein tiknu chazal shafapish mevatel leisagile el tzarech livdaik ulevarim in ha'olam mekomakon tzarech levatel gam kein shem livdaik yofi yivim tzarech levatel gam kein shem. So therefore we want him to get rid of it so he shouldn't eat it by mistake, or he shouldn't by mistake not have a full, a real, sincere bittul. Therefore, he has to get rid of it as well. Why is it that when a person gets rid of it, that we ask him to be mevatel it anyway, just in case he mistakenly missed it? What if he forgot a piece? And this happens, such stories happen all the time, where people forget, they put something someplace, they had a mind to get rid of it, and they realize that on Pesach that it's still here. So if a person was mevatel it, he's not in violation of this or by Rabbi Yematzeh. Okay, so that's basically the introduction to this year. Number one, there are several Yisurim of Chametz on Pesach. Number one being, the person can't own Chametz. Number two, a person can't eat Chametz. The next thing is, a person has to clean his house before Pesach to make sure that the Chametz is not there. Like this, he can do a proper Bedika. Bedika, as we explained, is really a checklist to make sure everything is done properly. And then, the third thing they were mentioning is that a person needs to do Bedika, which ultimately means he's going to get rid of the chametz. He's going to look for the chametz, search for it, gather it together, and then get rid of it. But besides for that, he also has to do bittul. He has to, in his mind, envision that any chametz that he owns, not only envision, but he has to make that the chametz that he owns does not belong to him anymore. Those are the points of introduction. What I'm going to focus on for the rest of this year is, what does a person need to get rid of? What is a person obligated to get rid of before Pesach? You're cleaning your house, and you're going through the different rooms. You want to say, what do I need to get rid of? So let's start with the smallest thing, crumbs. Does a person need to get rid of crumbs? Does he need to have a HEPA vac to go around his house and get rid of every tiny little crumb? So let's see. It says the Gemara, source number 6. This is Gemara, Pesach, Davav, Amabez. Amar Yehuda Marav. The Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, this is the halacha we just mentioned before. Habaydik, someone who already did bedika, he looked for his house, he looked throughout his house to try to get rid of all the chametz. The halacha is, nevertheless, tzarech sheyevatel, he also needs to have in mind and say that any chametz that he has, that he owns, should become batel, should be nullified, and it should be viewed as if it's dirt. The Gemara asks why. And we explained the reason why already in the previous Mishnah Berurah, but the Gemara, what's important for us is what the Gemara discusses in the interim. Why does a person need to get rid of the chametz? Inayim, if you can tell me the reason, sorry, why does a person need to do bittul? Inayim, if you can tell me the reason why he has to get rid of his Mishnah Pirurin, if it's because he has crumbs lying around, in other words, even though he got rid of all the bulk of his chametz, but he still has Pirurin, he has crumbs lying around his house, the Gemara says for that you have to do bittul. Halei chashivi. This is not important. Does anybody have any value for crumbs? Let's see the Rach in source number 7, the Beit HaChananel. He explains what this means. He writes as follows. Amr Yehuda. Yehuda says, person does bidika, achar shiyavar hakol, after he gets rid of everything, tzarech shiyavatal beliboy, he needs to have in mind in his heart that anything that he's left here should be batal, masha eina yadua loy achshav, whatever he doesn't know about. In other words, whatever he did not find when he did his bidika and his bior, when he checked and he destroyed his chametz, whatever he did not find, he has to have in mind in his heart that it should be viewed as dirt. V'daikinan. And the Gemara asks, the Gemara tries to understand, my taima, why does a person need to do this bittel? Imishum pirurin, if it's because of the crumbs that are left behind, afal pishle bitlin k'may batli ein. He says, those are self-bittel. Those are null and void by themselves. You don't need a person to say that something which is dirt should be dirt. Crumbs are dirt. And a person, and he writes, the holy kapit alive, since people don't have any value for crumbs, therefore it is automatically crumbs. Whether or not you yourself wave your wand and turn these crumbs into crumbs, they are by definition crumbs. So the Gemara is clearly saying, Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out, that when a person has crumbs, even if they are chametz, there is no violation of the Isser Bali Rabbi Yematze, because once they're crumbs, they're not chashiv, they have no value to them. A person is not in violation of the Isser Bali Rabbi Yematze.
Why would Rabbi Yochanan, why couldn't, I'm just curious, why couldn't he rely on the Mishnah in Source 2? Right?
Okay.
Crumbs are far smaller than that.
Very good. We'll see. We're going to see as we go through what happens with crumbs.
It would seem from Rabbi Yochanan, though, that the Gemara, his interpretation, the Bali Rabbi Yematze would still apply to crumbs. It's just that automatically they're but.
So we'll see. Right. We'll see. I don't want to jump to it because the Mishnah Berurah later on is going to discuss it. So we'll talk about it in a few minutes. So that's our introduction. Number one, it seems like according to Rabbi Chanan, according to the Gemara, crumbs are not chashev, and therefore crumbs is not something which a person is ever by Rabbi Matzeh for, because they're not chashev. Next source number eight. This is the Mishnah which is talking about a kneading bowl. You have dough which is stuck into the cracks of an areva, of a mixing bowl, a kneading bowl. So again, most of us don't have bowls that have this kind of problem nowadays, although it happens to be that somebody did call me last year that he had a wooden spoon that was used to mix challah dough, and inside the cracks of the spoon there was dough and he couldn't get it out. You went into the dishwasher a couple times, you couldn't get it out. You want to know what the halacha is. So the answer to this question is really mefurish in the sources that we're going to see over here. So you have a bowl. It has cracks in it, little crevices, and you mix dough in it, and you can't get it out. So the Mishnah says, "Im yesh kezayis makim echad," if you have a full kezayis, a whole kezayis in one place, chayv levar, you have to get rid of the bowl because you can't get it out. You got to destroy the bowl. V'im lav batal b'miyutei. If you don't have a kezayis of dough, in other words, in the sum total of the dough that you have in this whole bowl, you don't have a collective kezayis here, it's batal, it's fine. Viewed as a bowl, not as chametz. Then Shulchan Aruch, source number 9.
Kezayis collective or just in one spot?
It's a good question. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch. You'll see. Right here. Batzek shebesitke areva. You have dough which is stuck in the cracks of a bowl. If you have kezayis in one place, chayiv levar. You have to get rid of it. V'im lav. This is why I didn't want to answer you right away, because the Shulchan Aruch, he makes a distinction. V'im lav. If you don't have a kezayis in one place, now it depends. Im asli lechazik by shivay areva, I listim by nekev batu b'miyutai. If it's not in one place, but the dough is used to strengthen the bowl. People were very resourceful back then. They used to use all kinds of things to put things together. They didn't necessarily have a Home Depot where you went to go buy the glue. So if you had a good dough, which was very sticky, it got hard, it was holding the bowl together, halacha is, it's bottled to the bowl because it's glue. Vim lav, if it's not made to be mechazek it, then what happens is, the bowl, now that you have a kezayis, the bowl is mitzarefit. The bowl puts it together. So ultimately, again, what we're pointing out over here is, if we have a kezayis in one place, whether it's physically squished into one place, or the bowl puts it together and makes it one kezayis, you have to get rid of it. Look at Mishnah Berurah in source number 10 in Sifkat and Lamed Gimel. V'im lav chayv levar. If you don't, If it's not there to be mechazek the bowl, to strengthen the bowl, then you have to get rid of it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, davka. This is specifically talking about a case, kishayesh bein hakol kezayas. In a case where you have a kezayas between everything that's left, the azak kli mitzarfay. That's when the kli will combine it and put it together that you have a kezayas. Aval kishaloi nishra bein hakol kezayas. If you don't have a kezayas collectively in the bowl, ain sarach levara, you don't have to get rid of it. But filu ain asu lechazik uknuchach b'sefir aleph. Even if it's not there as a glue agent, it just got stuck there in the bowl. If you don't have a kezayas, says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have to get rid of it. Why? As we started off earlier, anything less than a kezayas, a person not over the iser b'ayirah b'ayimatzei, and therefore you don't have to get rid of it. Okay. So this gets to your point. There's a dispute amongst the paiskim with regard to this. The das harbe paiskim. There are many paiskim who are of the opinion that filu pachas mikazayas tzarach bir.
But for what reason? Like,
you're right.
Is it because you might eat it?
Yes, that's the reason. V'dafka kisharoi.
Eating it is an issue.
Look. V'dafka kisharoi laachila kitzas. That's only. In other words, when do we ever find that there is a chiv to get rid of it? When it's royal achila ketzas, avom hayim a ton of ketzas upachas bekezayis and tzarach levar l'kuliyama. This is a very important point. First thing we mentioned is, according to everybody, crumbs are not something which are chashev, and therefore, you're not everybody rabbi imatze. The next point, if you have less than a kezayis, so it seems like meikar din less than a kezayis is no mitzvah by rabbi matzah. Do you have to get rid of it? So it depends. His mishmur depends. It depends. Not whether it's not roi la'achila or not. Even if it's roi la'achila, you still don't need to get rid of it if it's metun of ketzas, if it's dirty. In other words, let's take a bagel. A bagel that has bleach on it is not roi la'achila. Right? Correct?
I think it's
safe to say. Let's say you have a bagel that you found under the refrigerator. It's full of dust. Is it not royal achila? I think it's royal achila. It's definitely metunif. So if you have less than a kezias of bagel that you find under the refrigerator, now if it's there for months and it's moldy, it's not royal achila. Let's say it's still a little soft, you know, it was kept nice and fresh under the refrigerator, but it's betunuf, it's dirty, it's full of dust. Or let's say a case where you had something which got soap on it. So these cases are clear. It's less than a kezayis, so there are, according to the Mishnah Berurah, there are some places that say you have to still get rid of it. Why? Because you might come to eat it. But you won't come to eat something that's full of dust. So therefore, crumbs, number one, not mechuyev to get rid of them. Something which is larger than a crumb, but less than a kezayis. If it's clean, you have to get rid of it because we don't want you to, by mistake, eat it. If you eat it, there could be a problem of eating chametz on Pesach. But now, let's say it's something which you won't eat because it's dirty. Now, it's still royal achila, but it's dirty, you won't eat it. So in such a case, you don't have to get rid of that either. It's something which you're allowed to keep in your house on Pesach. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do.
Only if it's less than a kezayis.
Less than a kezayis. Right, I'm not suggesting if it's more than a kezayis, it has to be not roi lachila. But if it's less than a kezayis, meikra din, a person not obligated to get rid of that before Pesach. Okay, that takes us to that point. I'm going to skip the next source because I want to finish this, but I'm going to go to the point in. I go to source number 13. It's a little bit hard for us to focus on exactly what he's saying, but the reason why I want to bring this in is because the point was raised about crumbs. What's the chiddush about crumbs? We see over here, what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 11 is that a keli can combine a bunch of pieces to be one, to turn them into a kezayis, is specifically talking about in a keli. But in a house, if you have a bunch of crumbs in your house, now, there's no. We don't say that the house The house as an entity is mitzar of all the pieces. And he writes, "Vafilu hachi, va'afte bebayis any osel chazav filu hachi yilav taimel shayde kibud miskabitz lahayachayev levar." There is one problem when it comes to crumbs is that we're worried that if a person sweeps them up and now they'll be in one place. So you're right; each crumb on its own is not a problem, but when there is a possibility that the crumbs themselves will come together. Then,
well, if you swept it up, it's probably not enough.
You're saying this is in regards to Bayi Rabbi Matzeh or to Achila?
This is Bayi Rabbi Matzeh.
Okay, because Achila is totally different.
Achila would be different, correct. Okay. But again, with regard to your point, but if you have more than a kezias, okay. Even if it's matonif, it's not going to help. So if you sweep up a bunch of crumbs in your house and it turns out to be more than a kezias, then you could have a problem. But again,
you sweep a pile.
Right. So number one, crumbs that you have lying around your house. They may be real chametz, but a crumb itself is not a problem. There's no issue of Bayi Rabbi Matzeh. Less than a kezias, meikar adin, there's no problem of Bayi Rabbi Matzeh. You're not in violation of this is Bayi Rabbi Matzeh. The only problem is that you may come to eat it. If you come to eat it, there's a problem. Whether you need to come out to the din of achshave, that you yourself were machshave, you made it chashav, we'll leave that alone. But ultimately, eating even less than a kezias of chametz is a problem in Pesach. So therefore, you should get rid of pieces of chametz which are less than a kezias. But even if it's even a little bit dirty, then there's no problem. You could theoretically leave that in your house. I mean, a Cheerio would be a classic example. A Cheerio, it's chametz, it's real chametz. Nevertheless, if you find it in your house, there's no, you're not mechuyev to get rid of it. If we have to get rid of it to make sure you don't eat it, but if it's metonav ketzas, meyak radin, you could just leave it there.
Even if it's dirty, there's a good chance your kid will eat it. It's a Cheerio.
Okay. So if your kid might eat it, then get rid of it.
Huh?
Okay, so let's skip a little bit over here. Oh, we only have 5 minutes left. Yes, I did some more juicy stuff, but I want to. So we're going to skip till the end, and hopefully we'll be able to come back. The last point I want to make is. Source 28. Begadim shekibsu oisan bechelav chita. You used a starch, which is made out of wheat. Vechein niyara shedipku oisam bechametz v'chol kiyotz b'zeh. You stuck paper together with a glue made out of some kind of starchy glue over there. Mutl kamei pesach. Why she'en tzuros chametz emetas? The halacha, if you use chametz to glue papers together or to clean your clothing, you're allowed to be mekayim them. So the question we have to ask ourselves over here is, what's this halacha? What's this talking about? What's this starch? Is the starch roi l'achila?
No.
It's not roi l'achila? So then there's no chiddush in this halacha. Because if you have something which is not roi l'achila, you don't need the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch to tell you that if you put something which is not roi l'achila on your shirt, then you're allowed to be mekayim on Pesach. Of course you can. It's not roi l'achila. So it must be that this starch or this glue that you used is roi l'achila.
Nowadays you wouldn't, but back in the day it's possible they used something.
Well, we're back in the day here. We're reading the Shulchan Aruch. They used something. He took flour and water. He mixed it together. He got some kind of starch. Mm-hmm. And he soaked his shirt in it. Apparently maybe that worked. It made it nice and crisp. All right, so now he has chametz on his shirt. If it's not roi l'achila, then you don't need the Shulchan Aruch. So it must be talking about where it's roi l'achila. Says Mishnah Berurah in source number 29, Sivkan Tezvav, Hanu gam kenafilu mamashos hachametz nirak tzasmin v'chutz v'atam b'chol elo p'nei shekvar nifsedo tzurosek moshe mevarish. Says Mishnah Berurah, the reason why it's mutter is because once something becomes a new entity, it changes itself from being food to being glue. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem with chametz on that. You let it be mekayim that. Now you can't eat it, and it's very clear in source in Mishnah Berurah of Katan Tezayin. He says don't bring it to the table because you can't eat it. But in terms of the Isser Ba'yira Ba'yimatze, once something gets a new shame, it gets a shinoi. It's transformed into something else. It's viewed as either glue or it's viewed as starch. Then it's no longer chametz.
What about hana'a, like shampoo? People.
Okay, I that. Makeup. Let's talk about that. Let's Let's leave that aside for now, but we'll get to that. But let me take a classic example. A project. The kid comes home with a project. The teacher used the pasta on the project to make, I don't know, whatever it was, thunder or lightning or payas on a Hasidic guy, right? And they colored, they took paint, and they painted it, and painted it black or white. So when you have it, you hung up your child's project in the playroom, and there's a piece of pasta on it. You have to get rid of it? No. Because that's not food. That's not food anymore. Right? There are many examples of this case. Now, I'm not, again, this is not necessarily a suggestion or a recommendation. People will probably be very uncomfortable to have something like that lying around the house. But ultimately, this is the next area which we're focusing on. Now, as we start off, crumbs, not a problem. Less than a kezias, if it's metun of kezias, it's a little bit dirty, not a problem. More than a kezias, problem. But once it's nishtana, it changes as the lashon of the Mishnah Shekvar nifsada tsurasai. It does not have the tsura anymore of being food. It's a starch, it's a glue, it's an arts and craft project. Once you reach that point, it's no longer a problem of chametz. You don't have to get rid of it.
There's going to be a difference between...
One second. Let's just try one more minute. Try to finish one more thing up. I feel it's important just to mention at the end. Source number 19. Shulchan Aruch. Siman Taf Mem Beis Sif Vav. Nagu. It has become the practice in Klal Yisrael. Ligarer HaKesalim. To scrub the walls. V'HaKisayis. And the chairs. Shenaga Bahem Chametz. V'Yishal Lohem HaMashi Yismaychel. Even though we just had a whole shiur talking to us about why that theoretically you have a piece of crumb stuck to the wall. No reason to scrub it off. No problem by your rub. You're not eating it. It's not a problem by your rub by Yimatze. Nevertheless, what's the halacha? The minig has become to scrub the walls. Says Mishnah Berurah, don't laugh at this. And he quotes a Yerushalmi, but ultimately in source number 21, the Shaar Tzion, he writes, forget about all rationale, forget about the Yerushalmi. The reason why we do this is Va'inyin, the Yisrael Kedoshim Venagul Lachma Filu Mashu. Even though lehalacha, when it comes to halacha, halachically speaking, we could justify having pretzels in the house on Pesach and Cheerios in the house on Pesach, but because Yidden are Kedoshim, they take this very seriously. They don't view this as just some, you know, just being Yitzah. That's something which we're very careful about. Therefore, the minig, the long-standing minig in Klal Yisrael, has become that we go as far as scrubbing the walls to make sure that it's all gone. So I want to kind of just equal out the discussion over here, to level it out. While it may be true that we can get away with a lot of crumbs and a lot of things that we have around the house because it's less than a kezias, or it's considered crumbs, or it's considered something which has been nishtana tsurasai, nevertheless, we have to realize that the minigan Klal Yisrael has already become to get rid of everything, and I can't get through everything else we have on the sheet, but we see that the Chazon Ish used to clean the Sfarim out and the Shevet HaLevi. The Vosner apparently also did. I found it in the beginning of a tshuva where he writes that he was asked a random shayla and he said, I didn't have time to answer the shayla because I was cleaning my sfarim for Pesach. So you see that ultimately, that while I'm sure he knew the halacha. Well, the halacha might be that many of these cases, the halacha, you don't have to get rid of it, but ultimately the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to get rid of everything. We'll continue next week.